It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
That is right. We are rolling. Top 10 at 420 coming up in 20 minutes as we enter hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation. And John Machota of The Athletic joins us now to talk Cowboys. Good afternoon, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's great to hear from you, especially during a football season. Of course, you know, here at The Fan, we've had a crazy last couple of days with the Jerry Jones, Sean and RJ deal. Wanted to ask you, John, why do you think Jerry's so triggered? He got mad at a reporter Sunday night as well. Seems he's pretty hot right now. What do you think is the reason?
Yeah, I think he's certainly frustrated, you know, with the team and the direction the team's going. I think he was expecting more success, or at least them trending in a better direction than they are right now. And I would have to think, some of the guys that you gave big contracts to really aren't playing up to those contracts. I'm sure that's affecting it as well. And I think he thought with having this veteran coaching staff that maybe they'd be a little bit further along than they are. And because my big thing is, you know, you can say 3-3, and that makes it sound like it's not that bad. But you look at those three losses, those games are pretty much over at halftime. And to be a team that's won 12 games each of the last 3 years, I think Jerry saw this as an opportunity that, okay, this is a team that can finally get over the hump and maybe make a run late in the season. So much so that he really didn't do much to add to that team. So I bet you there's a little bit of realization, too, of the looking in the mirror and knowing that he didn't do enough in the offseason and he should have done more. Probably bothers him, and maybe that's why he was triggered when the topics turned to that.
Maybe the clock struck midnight. I think it was weird, you know, right from day one on Oxnard, how he insisted this team was good. It does make me wonder, John, if he can evaluate or if he knows what a good football team looks like. Is that too harsh?
No, I don't think it's too harsh. I think it's one of those things where, you know, I just think if you do any job for a long time, even if at some point you're very good at it, so you can keep doing it for a long time, there's going to be times where the job changes and there's going to be aspects of it that kind of pass you by and you have to lean on other people that maybe have a little bit different views. And I don't know. I mean, I know Jerry listens to a lot of people, but it makes me wonder, I don't know that he's adapted well enough. You know, I think he feels that he's at the top of his game and that he is as sharp as he's ever been. And I'm sure he feels very young, particularly for being 82 years old, but that doesn't mean that he's still on top of his game. And I think the lack of doing things in the off season, it'd be one thing if it was, 1 or 2 years this happened. But when you couple that this has been their off season strategy for a while now, and you throw in the 28 years without a trip to the NFC Championship game, you know, there's got to be some change there. And there's got to be a little bit more of, you know, like as he said over and over again, all in. There has to be some real going all in the off season to take that next step, and they just, it's clear that they didn't do enough in the off season to take that next step.
John, you always do an awesome job transcribing, and when you were kind of listening to Diana Rossini's, you know, visit with Jerry yesterday in the afternoon, what kind of stood out to you? What was the tone of the context is what he was saying there? Because I think we were a little bit surprised he doubled down on this and really just seemed still angry.
So I was on a phone call with a friend, and Diana had texted me and said that, you know, I knew she was in Atlanta at the owners' meetings. And, you know, there's a lot going on there. You know, she doesn't just cover the Cowboys. She covers the whole league. And, you know, the biggest news really of that day was the Devontae Adams trade. Well, she's in a place where, you know, Mark Davis is there and Woody Johnson is there. So she's getting stuff about that. She's talking to other people that represent other teams. So she told me that she had gotten Jerry real quick and as he was leaving those meetings and that, you know, I'll send you the audio. Can you put up a story or whatever? And I immediately was like, yeah, of course, you know. But when she sent me the audio, I thought it was going to be more of Jerry's take on not making any moves before the trade deadline. I thought it was going to be more about sticking with the coaching staff and not making any changes there, which that was in there. But at the beginning of it was the stuff about the interview on 105.3. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'll include this in the story. But I thought I didn't think that would be the headline thing. And to be completely honest, when I'm listening to him respond to her, my eyes got wide. I couldn't believe it because that's not the Jerry Jones that I've been around the last 14 years. The Jerry Jones I've been around is the best at allowing the media to have their say. As long as you're being fair, there's times where I've seen Jerry Jones almost, I felt like, get bored because he wasn't being asked tough questions, whether it be after a game or radio interviews or whatever. And I've seen him at his best when he is pushed. And so for me, I've always said to people, no, 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 you don't have to play with kid gloves with Jerry. Jerry likes the fight. Jerry likes to spar with the media. That's one of the reasons why he always talks after wins, losses, wherever. That's sport to him. He enjoys that. And that's not, most people in this business or in the ownership business of sports don't like to do that. I would say he is almost a one of one in that perspective. And so when I heard that stuff, it really surprised me. And to be honest with you, I was disappointed because one of my favorite parts of covering the Cowboys is that you get that different type of aspect because the owner and general manager is so out there and he isn't a guy that has thin skin.
Yeah, and he understood that the media has to be able to do things their way to make the product more interesting and to complement the football games themselves. Did the media approach in general from the organization change in recent years? Is this, you know, going along with other stuff, or do you think it's just a one-off?
Yeah, I don't know if it's changed. I think it could be a lot more of just Jerry maybe just getting frustrated that, you know, they're not having the success that he was hoping that they'd have, the direction that they were on. Probably a little bit of factoring in the whole idea of if this doesn't work, I'm going to have to get a new coaching staff. And you know when you do that it's not like you're just going to pick up where you left off. That there's going to have to be some major changes, and that could mean like a step back. And you know, he always says that I don't have time to have a bad time. Well, he probably is looking at this as one of those deals where it's like, man, this is going to be an even longer climb than I thought it was going to be. So I think that's probably why he's like that. But I can definitely tell, you know, this last few weeks he's been more, you know, like, for example, I was out at Texas Live last week for the announcement of the IndyCar race coming in 2026. And, you know, typical Jerry, like when he's done talking on the stage, he also does the stuff in front of the cameras, in front of the backdrop, but he also was willing to step over to the side with a handful of us to just talk specifically Cowboys. It was, you know, coming up the Steelers game, and he got really defensive when he was asked a follow-up about the soft rebuild that he was asked about on your guys' station. And I was kind of surprised about that. Like, he just was really defensive about it and wanted to clarify that there's no way that this is a soft rebuild and that he didn't mean that at all, which is fine, and that's fair for him to say. But I was kind of, like, surprised that even bothered him, and it seemed like it did in that moment. And so I didn't get that sense that Jerry was like that in the off season. I didn't get the sense that he was like that during training camp. But these last few weeks, maybe it's just him looking at the bigger picture, and it's one that he doesn't like.
Talking Cowboys with John Machota of The Athletic. What do you think is the root of the problem and the disconnect between Dak and Lamb right now?
I mean, there's probably more than one thing, but I would say the number one biggest thing, and this kind of goes back to Jerry, and it's that the deals needed to be done so that CeeDee was at all at training camp. I think we're seeing the fruits of your quarterback and wide receiver not having those 5 weeks together out in Oxnard. And believe me, you won't find many people that think less of today's training camp like style than myself. It's not anywhere near what it used to be, but there still are aspects of it that are very important. And I certainly think timing between star receiver, star quarterback are on that level. I think that, whether it's Dak, CD, front office, coaching staff, I think maybe there was a little bit too much weight put into how much they work out in the offseason together that could just make up for it. I still think you need to get those reps in. I do think practice is important. And I think that you saw some rust, and then since the team hasn't been playing that well, they're probably pushing and forcing a little bit and trying to make some things happen that might not be there. And when Dak's on, CD's a little off, and when CD's on, Dak's a little off, and it just isn't clicking. And you can live with that, I feel like, and deal with that better if you're Jerry Jones, if you didn't just make one guy the highest paid player and then the next guy really second. I mean, if you look at the highest paid quarterback is obviously Dak, so highest paid player. But then the non-quarterbacks, the highest paid player is Justin Jefferson and number two, CeeDee Lamb. I mean, you made that big of a commitment. I bet there's a big part of Jerry Jones that thought that no matter how bad things get, that combo will be able to keep us afloat. And clearly it hasn't.
I'm glad that you said that, because yesterday it seemed like he also kept falling back to those two, specifically Dak and the contract. And I wanted to ask you about the frustration there. And I mean, did he have to be sold at all? Do you know any of that on signing Dak, or was he kind of all in on, you know, we've got to do this?
It's tough to say. I mean, I have never heard, on the record or off, I've never heard anybody in the Cowboys organization in my life ever talk negatively about Dak Prescott. And that's completely sober talk, several drinks in talk. I can't tell you one time I've ever heard anybody say anything negative about him. So it's hard for me to say that Jerry would have to be talked into it. I really believe Jerry was hoping that Dak was going to give them a little bit of a team-friendly type deal, or a little bit more than what he ended up taking. And I think that he felt like the longer it dragged on that Dak would give in, and that never happened. And so he was kind of forced to be like, well, I can't risk losing him in the offseason. But I never really got the sense that, you know, I shouldn't say never, because when he was going all in and saying that over and over again in the offseason, there was a part of me that thought he was going to let Dak play this season out. But there was never a part of me where I thought that Jerry wouldn't do what was needed to be done to keep Dak. I don't think he had to be talked into it.
John, the position I felt like that I overrated or was really wrong about was the offensive line here. And I felt like that it would be a better unit, but it looks like it's one guy and four guys that are trying to kind of figure things out. How is there a position that you kind of were at camp thinking, you know, I know you and I had a lot of dinners together and a lot of discussions, but I know you and I talked about the line. Is there a position that you're kind of like, man, I thought this group was probably going to be better, and they're really not through six games?
I almost feel – I'm seriously thinking almost all of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I would say linebacker has been better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
After that, man, it's pretty thin. I can't say that there's one that I think has been as good or better. But, the biggest concern is the offensive line, you know. And with that, like, I'm not one of these people that thinks that, you know, Tyler Guyton can't play and won't have a good NFL career. He's obviously going through a rough spot right now. But I do think that they have their left tackle of future in Tyler Guyton. I do think that they'll get that worked out as he gets acclimated into that. And I do think that they have the right guy at center and Cooper Beebe, and at left guard in Tyler Smith. The Zach Martin one is interesting because, you know, I felt going into camp that, you know, this is probably the last season for Zach, just with the way his contract is and everything. And obviously he didn't play well on Sunday. And so now you're looking at, okay, well, how do you replace him? But that's not till the off season. So
right.
I'm sitting here thinking, how do you get that fixed in season? You know, we got a chance to talk to Mike Solari yesterday, the offensive line coach, and he's completely has faith that you know, the more reps these guys get together every week, it's just going to keep getting better and better. And I have my doubts about that.
Yeah.
And it's a bad thing, because to me, it's one of those deals where there's a lot wrong with the Cowboys right now. Yeah, but if somebody said that right now you could fix one thing about them, what would it be? I'd say number one for me would be the run game, because if you can run the ball, I think it helps out Dak, the play action game, everything there. And then it also helps out the defense. But it's also the part that I have the least faith will get fixed.
How vast of a coaching search would you anticipate taking place if they are replacing McCarthy at any point? And what's the percentage chance that Jason Garrett gets an interview?
I don't think that will happen. You know, I don't think of the Cowboys as being a team that makes a huge coaching search. I think of them as having someone in their mind that they're going to go with. And maybe, I shouldn't say just somebody. I think there could be two or three people. And then that's what it comes down to. And I feel pretty confident that they probably already have a feeling who that could potentially be. And it would surprise me if it isn't somebody that already has head coaching experience if they do decide to move another direction. So, you know, obviously on Sunday, a lot of people say, you know, Ben Johnson, all the, you know, fun stuff that the Lions did offensively, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I still have my doubts that Jerry would go in that type of direction. I think he goes for somebody that has previous head coaching experience in the NFL.
Final question for me, when and if Jerry does ever step down from his role with the Cowboys, how would you like Steven as more of a true de facto GM by himself? Or maybe that situation would get complicated with the other siblings. But what do you think of Steve as a de facto GM?
I think he'd be fine. I mean, he's obviously been around this for, you know, 35 years, so he's obviously got the experience there. The one thing I've always said, though, that I feel about Steven is that if things weren't going well for, you know, several years, I just think it's far more likely that Steven would hire a GM than Jerry ever will. Like, I never see a day where Jerry will do that. Whereas with Steven, I could see it come to that point where he's like, all right, I'm going to handle this, and, you know, I'm obviously going to be in charge in that, but I need to hire a GM that just focuses on the football aspect of it. And, you know, obviously it's the Cowboys, so it would be somebody that probably has some pretty good skins on the wall. But I would think that he would be more likely to go down that route than Jerry ever will. I never see Jerry hiring a GM. And that's also, to be honest with you, going back to the last question about coaching, that's why I kind of don't see him ever, you know, as much as people talk about Belichick, because if Belichick was to come in here, fix everything, Belichick gets all the credit. Jerry doesn't want that. Jerry wants the credit. And so that's why I don't think Belichick is nearly the fit that everybody seems like on the outside thinks.
You're the man, John. Thanks for the thoughtful answers. We'll catch up with you soon.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
Cheers. John Machota, a must follow on Twitter and a must read there on The Athletic. Sean and RJ Friday in Denton at the Firehouse off of 35. Next chance to get the G-Back Nation flag. Woolchuck's top 10 at 420 is coming up next. Buddy, where are you taking it?
Happy National Sports Day. What are the top 10 best spectator sports? Mm. Which one do you like to watch most? That's next in the name. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation. Shoot, yeah, welcome back, Nation. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 420. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214-817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much, General. What's the best spectator sport? 877-881-1053. What happened?
Big old birth. Surprised me.
Very impressive.
Man, you are the Dawson best bird when it comes to, like, hey, I'm going to fight through this.
I'm used to him eating him.
But yeah. that one was audible.
Yeah. I didn't even notice it. That's how damn good it was. I just saw the reaction afterwards. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Something bad happened?
No, not bad.
But it's
quite relieving.
Relieving.
Yes.
Relieving.
Yeah. It was just surprising.
You caught me by surprise. What is the best spectator sport? 877-881-1053. Women's volleyball, Argentina versus Brazil. Every time. I like that.
Boy.
Very good. What. Very good from the 360.
What's her name? Winifer?
Man. Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Dawson said yes, that's right.
Canada's team very talented as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely.
We're like the show of women's volleyball.
The Misty May Trainer days. Those were great, great Olympics that I enjoyed watching as well. I think that is up there when it comes to best spectator sports. But I do have a piece of audio. Another just public service announcement on National Sports Day. Don't schedule big events, specifically weddings, in the fall during football season. Cook the Book Bets, which is a tremendous site. This guy is pumping out gold when it comes to some of these videos he's putting together. But he does a reenactment. Newlywed finds out he missed an epic college football weekend.
I can't believe we finally did it, baby. Last night was a dream.
Screw the people that said they'd rather watch college football than come to our big day.
You know, to prioritize college football over our big day is crazy. I heard there were some crazy games, but screw it. Who cares?
Hold up. You said crazy games. Well, come on now. What's the craziest thing that could happen?
South Carolina almost beat Alabama. And Oregon beat Ohio State.
You said Oregon beat Ohio State?
Yeah, but who cares? They're just college boys.
Who cares? Not me.
Let's see. Tennessee and Florida went to overtime.
Overtime?
Baby, who cares? It's just football.
Right. Gives a damn. And honestly, the one that I cared most about, probably a bad game anyway.
And which one was that?
LSU Ole Miss.
Let's see. It says 29-26 OT, but I don't know what OT means.
OT means overtime, baby. They went to daggum overtime.
You said you didn't care we got married in the middle of college football season.
I'll never forgive you for this.
What was that?
I said I'll never forget our first kiss, baby.
I love you, baby.
I love you, too.
Don't do it. Yeah, it's not hard. You know, I know you're wanting to avoid the hot summer, especially in the South, right? So you don't want to get married and you're waiting for the fall. There's the opposite of it, which is the spring, too much rain, okay? But that's not our problem. That's your problem. You got to overcome that one way or another.
I thought you were really about to just go on every season and why it's not a good time, and then the moral of the story is just don't get married.
You could do that as well.
That's not a bad plan.
You could have an indoor wedding.
You could do that.
You know, get some AC going on there in July or August.
Maybe just if you have to do the fall wedding, you just do it in a damn sports bar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to get comfy seats in sports bars. You know what I mean?
Staggered. So, you know what? We do it at Cosm Dallas.
Might need to crawl before we walk there.
We go to Grandscape.
Like where your
we
head's at.
Damn Cosm.
I do think, though, I think this is on wedding venues.
Okay.
Throw some screens around.
It's so easy. You got drinks and everything. Throw me a little screen over there, bro.
All you need is one or
Please.
Two screens.
We got a DJ talking over all the music. Can I get a screen up?
Come on. Yeah.
Go ahead and pump in the audio there if we do go to overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Oh, team means
This is what you married, girl.
Yeah, this
a
is.
A sports fan.
Like, get with the program
It's
here.
Just football.
Throw a couple of TVs up, whatever. Even if you're, I mean, I guess maybe if you're the groom in that scenario, you figure out a way to rabbit ears it and bring it in yourself, makeshift style. But just get some TVs.
Just put some TVs up.
Projection screen, you can get them at the Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
The projection
screen. Yeah, you get the little projection screen. I said Walmart.
Put that up on Underrated. A wall.
For a couple of bucks. Hey.
Good. And now, wedding venue, probably charge a little bit more. College football Saturday. You know, you're getting your cake and you're eating it, too.
I got you covered. All right, we're going to have LSU Ole Miss. We're going to have Oregon Ohio State. You know, you don't have to worry about this. But that's just a PSA. Try to avoid it. Like, my buddy did it 2 years ago where it was Navy Army.
Yeah, but you unfriended him in real life, just on the book.
That was probably the best Saturday to do it.
Yeah, that's the only game that
weekend. That was the only game on, and it was in the afternoon. Wedding was in the evening, so we're getting ready. We still have that game on.
Still watching it.
It might be two undefeated teams playing this year.
This year might be the one year you're like, damn it, what the hell, bro?
This might be 1945 all over again.
Like, otherwise, just try and avoid this.
1945, the last time.
I got nervous, bro.
No, 1945, when these two teams
the
were
The good
undefeated.
Old days, Lucius.
So, yeah, that timeline is getting scary. I don't know.
Doc Blanchard and those guys,
My gosh, really on with this one, Brian.
I think, you know, as a sports fan, you target June, July, August. The only thing, NBA playoffs, okay? After June 15th through about August 1st.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going on is baseball. The worst thing that happens is you miss, like, games 98 through 101. We're going to be fine here.
I kind of feel like if you make me go to an August or a July or August wedding, I'm wearing shorts.
As long as it's indoors.
We're going indoor. I'm not putting on a suit.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
I just don't want you to have to choose this or a college football game. You know, I'm a better host than that. I've been to a wedding. I couldn't get out of it in any way. I was up there with a tux.
Oh,
you know. I think last time Oregon played Ohio State.
My heart goes out to you.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Is that like the horseshoe?
The 817.
Yeah, it was. Oregon won.
817 says just normalize Tuesday or Wednesday weddings.
Apparently it's cheaper to do a Thursday. Actually,
oh, it's way cheaper, dude.
I've got to go to this Tuesday wedding the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Maya's friend has a wedding that day.
TD Tuesday.
Obviously a football family.
Yeah, I guess, like, I accept this. It's not an inconvenient day. It's okay. We'll do this Tuesday deal.
I'd rather punt on a day of work.
I'd rather punt on a day at work than punt on a great football
Thursday. And you're just going to take.
Well, I'll be at the game on Thursday. Okay, yeah, Don't you worry. Hey, we all get the Wednesday off. Shout out to Peace of Dawn. We'll come in and do it down with Peace of Dawn.
Yeah, we got an hour.
It's gonna be a good day. All right, let's hit to the top 10 best spectator sports. Do you have a sport that you like watching more than any other? I do think
college football for you. College football.
Inject all the football into my veins.
I would watch college football over NFL football every day.
I know you would. And that's the sicko in you as you rip your LSU sweater. But I will say, if you're in attendance, I think the best spectator sport is hockey.
I'm not going to fight you too hard on that. I think there's something intoxicating about a playoff baseball environment.
That was pretty wild.
Totally different from regular season baseball.
It's one of those things you can't ever leave early.
Yeah. I just don't know that it gets better than being.
I'm going to make up for this one day, I promise.
You already
first couple of rows at a basketball game, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, yes.
Chris Bowler,
who's one of my buddies, does work for the Fan in Pittsburgh, said courtside at an NBA game. I'm like, look at you, big pimpin'. I've never experienced that, but I bet it's really cool.
That would be special.
Lucius?
I don't know if you consider it a sport, but I like drag racing. Going to go watch drag racing.
Motorsports.
Sunday. Yeah. Green Valley Raceway.
I like that. Go out to Ennis. I love that.
Daddy Don Garland. Yes.
It's easy to tell who won. They show your lights and everything. Oh, yeah. It's so simple.
It is. And it's a lot of fun.
It's really a lot of fun.
It is. It's
I like the burnout more than I like the speed. Rawr, rawr, rawr. They say how bad their car is. Rawr, rawr. Now mine's better, fool. Rawr, rawr, rawr.
Listen, like so fighting.
And someone always blows an engine.
Frame is 55,000 right there. Just
smell the gasoline.
Gotta start over.
There's always some lady in a pink little truck.
Yeah, I love it, bro.
It's like little baddie on the back window. Baddie.
Somebody out there with their family car.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Love it.
Honorable mentions: we've got volleyball. Shout out to the texture. Skateboarding. Beach volleyball's at 12.
What?
Yeah. Ice skating at 11.
Oh, that's lame.
Ice skating?
Yeah. That's horrible.
You know, like watching like Chris Yamaguchi?
No. More of a Yuki Kamamura guy.
Kamamura.
It's like a floor routine on ice, you know?
Not fun.
I've seen gymnastics.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Number 10 is tennis. 10th best spectator sport.
Tennis is cool to watch, but if somebody's looking at you while you're watching it, you look ridiculous. Because your head is just going back. You look crazy.
I think tennis would be a great sport.
Like a cat watching TV.
You look ridiculous. Yeah.
I think tennis would be great if they let you drink the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
If you just say you just could sit there
like
and
while
drink.
You're
while you're watching.
Has anybody ever been to like one of those big tennis mats, like Wimbledon? Or
not Wimbledon, like but I've been to a tennis match. Yeah. Lucius is right. You sit there. And that's why I like to sit at the end. Like the end of the court behind the
that's
baseline, because you just look straight ahead.
Yeah,
you don't have to do the back with the head movement stuff. Yeah,
we got gymnastics at 9.
Let's LSU girls get after it.
Oh, they sure do. Number 8 is snowboarding. The Olympic snowboarding event is pretty badass, but I don't know that I'd ever like pay to go.
You know,
watch
it's funny
them.
People like if you, but you have to bundle up, right? That's a bundle up
it'll
sport.
Be cold. It'll
that's
be cold.
A cold.
Generally, those
Snops.
Are jacket on situations.
Yeah.
Seven is boxing. I think that should be a little
bit I've never been to a boxing match.
Dude, it was a great experience when Lucius and I got to go. I mean, outside of the result, right? The result did not go the way we wanted it to, but
were
to be there for that.
You guys sitting in pretty decent seats, or were you way up high?
But to be cross-faded
we
in Vegas
like,
with your buddy.
It was still solid view.
That's the way, what'd you say?
Yeah, for when we went to Spence Crawford, like where our seats were.
Oh, yeah. We still had a fantastic view, though.
Yeah, it was still a good view. Like,
good place.
We're in the middle.
Yeah.
And T-Mobile was badass.
That's good.
6 is baseball.
Because you don't have to study it to watch it. Because the action happens, and it's a long time for something else to happen. Then it happens again, you know. Yeah. It's not like you have to stay locked in.
And baseball, honestly, it flew by, like even the pre-fights.
Oh,
like,
I'm
boom.
Sorry, boxing. Oh.
But baseball 6, yeah. And boxing 7. Mixed martial arts, MMA at 5, which would be like UFC. Never been to one
never
live,
been to
but
one
I'm a big fan of
that's scary if you get up close. All that blood and the dude is getting beat against the mat.
I think
you're like, oh, my God, help him.
Stop it.
Who
stop
does this? This is barbaric. You're trying to throw the towel over into the
stop there.
No, it's hung on there. It's
somebody's
hung.
Child
get the towel.
There.
Just hammer that man's head against the mat. My God.
4 is soccer, Dawson.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I'm kind of looking forward to the World Cup being here.
Should be.
That'll be fun for us, I think.
Be some games.
It'll be fun, yeah.
Top 3 spectator sports, though. Number 3 is basketball.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
2 is football. the American version.
Something's better than this, what's been mentioned so far?
Swimming.
Ice hockey number one.
Oh, nice pole, Chuck. Boom, must baby. Be a northern pole. Hey. That's why they like the ice skate.
United Paulos. States of America. It's a great spectator sport.
No, I like it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, sure you do.
I can't find the puck sometimes, dude. I'm like, where is it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's when you're there.
It's a little bit small.
Yeah, but you're right.
Sean and RJ, Friday, Denton Firehouse off 35. Next chance to pick you up a G-Bag Nation flag. College football hump day Darty, Chief.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Is Uga about to get the horns again? Next.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time now for a college football hump day Darty with the Chief.
Yes, sir. Let's do this thing. Now, we are getting so much love when it comes to the spectator list there, Walchuk. The amount of love for chicken fighting and midget wrestling is just absolutely through the roof here.
Gee, I didn't want to
say the chicken
M-word.
Fight in a pool? Did you do that?
Chicken fights
chicken
in the pool.
Fighting for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't imagine doing it on land. That would actually maybe even be more... It would certainly be more
dangerous.
Violent.
Yeah,
more
it's got to go to the water. Yeah. But, maybe on a trampoline.
There was always
maybe.
An injury on that chicken fighting.
Chicken fight. Well, you were always worried about the edges of the pool.
Yeah,
and
you're
falling off and smashing your head
be
on
careful
something.
There.
We did that in water volleyball, too.
I would argue chicken fighting is the most overrated
girls on the shoulder, right?
Activity and I guess it becomes not so.
It's always
kind of
neat
the
when
setup.
It's super competitive, you know.
Yeah,
and they start to lose equipment.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought they were
like, "Oh, wait, we got some equipment."
Like their jousting stick and stuff.
We get some equipment loss.
When it was like two dudes versus two dudes,
it was pretty consistently two dudes on two dudes.
Wow,
that's
what age?
I would never chicken fight.
Oh, geez, this was a few months ago.
12 to 18.
I would never chicken fight that way.
Come on, bro.
I mean, summer's just about over.
Let's kick their ass, man.
I'd never do that.
It's a good summer of chicken fighting with the bros.
Loser buys beer.
You guys got an issue? Take it to the pool.
All righty. We do have to look back before we look forward. Congratulations to Brian Broaddus' LSU Tigers, who have officially won 8 straight at home versus Ole Miss. Yes. So they're on a nice little home heater right there.
We might have knocked Ole Miss out of the playoff.
Mm-hmm. Might have.
Yeah. The guy that certainly Walchuk and perhaps even Broaddus want to be a future Cowboy, Ashton Jeanty, is now the leader for the Heisman and has 8 50-yard rushing touchdowns this season. No other college football team has more than 5 attempts to go over 50 yards.
When's the last
yards.
Time a non-quarterback has won the Heisman Trophy?
I think it was DeVonta Smith.
That would be Alabama a good, that would be receiver. That'd be a very good guess.
It's a good pull, Walchuk.
Thank you very much, football guy of the day.
Yep.
Also, looking back before we look forward, Walchuk, you brought this to my attention, and I don't think we brought it to the air, but USC apparently allows fans to pay in the neighborhood of $1,500
to
run out with the
Trojans. That was hilarious, that Penn State guy doing
Dude,
it.
Dude, can you believe that? I thought I was getting ball sacked when I saw this.
No, it's true.
But it was true. So it's $1,450 to $1,800 to run out with the Trojans. They got no rules here. So you get this Penn State Nittany Lion fan that's just running out with the damn team.
Yes, and he videoed himself doing it.
Yeah,
he's in Nittany Lion gear. He's very obviously amazing. Pulling for the road team at a home USC game. But USC's like, hey, we live in an NIL world where we're trying to cash checks like the rest of them. So we'll take dollars anywhere we can get it. If one of you schmoes wants to pay us $1,500 to wear an opponent's shirt and run through our tunnel, so be it. We're probably going to lose to you anyways. And they did. They did. It was a good game.
They did.
It was a good game. Sure I actually was, the whole time I was giving them credit, I was like, I thought Penn State was going to push these dudes around like crazy. But that wasn't the case right up until the game really started to matter and then Penn State won it. But it is just, it's a funny visual seeing a Penn State fan
it is
in Penn State gear running out with the Trojans football team at USC. It's pretty awesome.
Economy doing good. It's like 40 people running out there.
Yeah, there were a handful.
That's a lot of folks, bro.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, you gotta have some
bank in your pocket just to run out for that?
Some fun money to do something like that, no doubt about it.
Do you get to stay on the field? Or you got to go back into some seat somewhere?
And we'll see you get back in the bleachers you go.
You got to go back to the suite.
Yeah, I'd assume you're back wherever you're sitting.
I don't think you get the sideline pass for the game because that would be a no-brainer worth it deal.
Yeah.
Now for $1,500, you're hanging out on the sidelines during the game. No, that'd be awesome.
You give $25,000, you get a sideline pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so weird and
pass,
embarrassing.
Hot dog at halftime. Yeah.
We're doing this as
maybe
a billion-dollar business.
Maybe get the speech. Halftime.
Yeah,
this seems like something Jerry Jones would do, not like a major university for $40,000 a game day.
Yeah, Well, I mean, dude, you got Oklahoma State's putting QR codes on the back of their players' helmets. I mean, the heavy-handed nature of please give us your money in college football right now is at an all-time high.
You got to compete.
Cash app. Cash app them while they're playing.
For the dollars. Exactly. Speaking of dollars, Georgia, Texas, cheapest ticket is $373. Most expensive ticket is just under $5,000. So that's where things stand. Georgia, Texas, going to be a big one. Last time they saw each other, Texas was alleging they were back, and Bevo was tearing up Uga.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if tempers.
I went to a Cotton Bowl game with Texas and Georgia play. Kevin Butler kicked a game-winning field goal 10-9 at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, wow. Barn burner, huh?
Yeah, it was a barn burner.
This was 1957?
It was in the 80s. It was in the 80s.
Well, Georgia's the first team playing multiple AP top five matchups on the road in the same season since 1996. So they're it's a tall order. There's no question about it. But this is going to be a ton of fun. And they've been favored in 49 straight games. And they're obviously not going to be favored anymore. I think they're a 5-point dog now. It was like 3.5, but now it's
the lines move.
It's all just, now it's Texas as a 5-point favorite. Yeah, Georgia hasn't been a dog in 49 straight games. That's the longest streak in the nation, of course.
Mm.
So
then we have an Alabama streak that got broken the other day. Wasn't Alabama a home dog to Georgia? Didn't we have that?
They were.
And the first time they last time was 2007.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Even though once like
the LSU
at kickoff,
yeah, it was.
I think it was a pick 'em at kickoff, but yes, it was. It was Georgia as the favorite throughout the whole week leading up to the game and everything.
This is travel nightmares. What we're about to have in Austin this weekend, because you got that game, and you got the Formula One race in Austin the same weekend.
No way. The following weekend?
No.
Same weekend?
Same day?
The qualifications and stuff, everything on game on Saturday, and the race is on Sunday. But you're in Friday through. So you imagine the hotels, and everything has got to be just completely booked.
That's going to be a madhouse in Austin.
Yeah, that's Aggravation City right there. The A in Austin stands for Aggravation this weekend. Yeah. Man, that is. How about F1? Trying to go toe-to-toe with the NFL football Sunday?
It drives me crazy trying to make my way through Austin, because you have a choice. Do you want to sit in the middle of town on that giant ancient bridge?
No.
Or do you want to go around on the toll?
Dawson, I know you're terrified of heights.
Yes.
You just got to let somebody else drive and go around.
Yeah.
Make the go-around. Yeah. Now, the go-around, there's a go-around way that you can go that takes you right by the track. So you have to be worried about that.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay, but the idea that F1... is doing their big race on a football Sunday
when all of America has a
date with Scott Hansen for 7 hours of commercial-free.
It will be watched.
The F1 fans, a totally different bird.
Yeah, they care less about your NFL football.
Yeah, we care, but the rest of the country or world that watches Formula One doesn't give a damn.
Yeah.
Well, Ashton Genty is the favorite. From a Heisman standpoint, Dylan Gabriel moved from tied to fifth to now up to second after the weekend that he had. Travis Hunter went from second to fifth because he has the injury concerns, and he's still banging the table for being a two-way player in the NFL. And it's just clear, dude, this is not a sport that allows for that.
No.
Not to this extent. Not that you can't be sprinkled in and out of this thing, but he was asked about the Heisman and should Ashton Genty be the Heisman over him. And he's like, dude, he's got 95 carries for 1,000 yards. If I had 95 catches, how many yards do you think I would have? That's like his rebuttal.
1,400? Yeah, about that. Yeah.
It's like, I guess if we're playing the ifs game, what is not an if right now is that you're banged up. And it's because you're doing something that is just, it's not possible in this type of sport. You can't be a full-time two-way player. I'm sorry. I love the mindset, though. I mean, you're talking about Travis Hunter being the polar opposite of Trayvon Diggs. So I'm not going to crap on Travis Hunter.
You gave him an A and the other guy an F.
Yeah, exactly. Only because I couldn't give him a G or whatever else.
What would you give Jordan Lewis grade-wise?
Oh, Jordan Lewis, I'd probably give a B+. Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly. I don't know that anybody deserves an A. Is he the closest to an A that you would have on defense?
Yeah.
I mean, our guy Eric Kendricks has been pretty outstanding as well.
Kendricks has been good. I think, oh, I mean, Overshown, when I was watching the All-22 against Detroit, Overshown still, to me, I was like, okay, he had some plays where I enjoyed what I saw there.
Yeah. I think Jordan Lewis, if you look for six games.
He's been your best, most consistent.
What would you give Hunter Lipke on the offense?
C+.
Yeah, when Lipke's been on the field, I've been impressed.
C+, Dawson?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just okay.
I'd probably give him a B.
Yeah, I think Lipke's been good.
Yeah, no A's, right? No A's on the offense?
Can't give any A's.
No A's.
No A's.
No A's for this D, that's for sure.
Mm. Well, thank you, Chief. There it is, a college football hump day darty here in the nation. The 5 o'clock hour in the expressway is waiting for you. LA Live coming up at 5:40. What are we doing in the football's finest today, Eric?
We got some good stats of the day for you. We have the CTE onsetting for this defender and move or rust next in the nation. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.